Wow. I love that music, Jess.
America, wake up to Jesus. Don't hit the snooze button. You know, all the liberals talk about global warming. Yeah, global warming is going to come one day, Terry.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Judgment Day, the second coming of Christ. And for all you listeners, just as a good baseball or football coach or a basketball coach would tell you, make sure that before you die, you leave it all out in the field. Amen. I'm on duty, Terry.
I'm on duty also, Jess. I'm excited about today because we're going to be talking about the holy, or I call it the wonders of the holy name of Jesus throughout history. And boy, do we need to be talking about the name of Jesus in our culture. Also, Jesse, this is an amazing article. A priest doctor, he's a Dominican, a believing Dominican, a Thomist. I mean, I love it. And what does he do? He gives the church teachings on this issue of abortion and the vaccine and the connection. And he gives you things that I have not even heard the Holy Father talk about when it comes to getting the vaccine, what you need to do as being a high information Catholic. From the very top, I'm sorry to have to say, I wish the Holy Father would implement what the doctrine of the faith said about this vaccine. But you know what? We pray for him tonight from 7 to 9 here at the chapel and for all priests and bishops and the Holy Father. That's what we can do mostly for him. So it's going to be a great show. Also, Jess, you didn't hear this, but I have to tell you, this Biden administration sues to force doctors to perform sex changes, surgeries, and attacks Catholic nuns. That's the administration that many of us, you know, voted for as Catholics.
At least half of Catholics voted for him.
Yes. And you know what, Jesse, what I always say, I'm sorry, my bishops, protect the flock. We should have been talking about this. We knew Biden was this way, but no.
Yeah, exactly.
It was silence, unfortunately. And we've got also one other thing I just want to throw in. Louisiana governor is vetoing any bills banning sex changes for minors and protecting girls' sports. This is happening more and more. It's a big battle. This is a cultural battle. But before we get into any of these topics, number one is the soul food that Jess shares with us every single day. And Jess, you didn't know this, but that first reading from the Acts says it all about where the church is with the Bible. I have to share this. I just spent 20 minutes, Jesse, 20 minutes this morning early when a guy delivered flowers for the funeral, okay? And he was a fallen away Catholic. And for 20 minutes, we had a dialogue about why he left the Catholic Church. He was a military guy. Uh-huh. And we duked it out about authority, about confession, about the priesthood. But the bottom line I'm saying is that he was a low information Catholic. And there's so many of them out there. That's why here at Virgin Most Powerful, we want you to be high information. So, Jess, you do both readings or the gospel, but I just want to mention the Acts of the Apostle reading talking about the guy in the carriage.
Yeah, it got a lot of apologetics in there, which is for us. So let's jump into
that. Okay, let's do it, Jess.
First reading today, the Acts of the Apostles written by St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 and following. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. First thing I want to say is if you notice in the Old Testament, and up until really the time of Christ, the way God communicates with people is through angels, even now.
Yep.
How does God communicate to us now, New Testament? Through angels. This is biblical theology. This is important, okay? Because a lot of people are always saying...
Well, the modernists don't believe in angels.
Yeah,
exactly. Go
ahead. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, get up and head south on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert route. So he got up and set out. And now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, that is the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury, who had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, go and join up with that chariot. Philip ran and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? He replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? That's an important point
there. Absolutely.
This is why we have 40,000 denominations within within the Christianity, is because you have 40,000 denominations called Protestants that all say all you need is the Bible alone, faith alone, read the Bible, and the Bible will tell you everything you need to know. Well, guess what?
That's not how
this guy was educated. This guy was a high court official for the queen of the Ethiopians, so he was literate. In fact, he was so literate he could even speak Hebrew and read Hebrew. And again, he was reading things there that he didn't understand. Why? Because you need what? Context, Context.
Yep.
Number two, you also need an interpretive authority. That's why God left the church, the magisterium of the church, to give us that interpretive magisterial authority so that we can know what the scriptures tell us, especially in regards to our salvation. Goes on to say, the Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I unless someone instructs me? So in other words, he tried the whole Bible only approach, and right. It didn't work. So he invited Philip to get in and sit with him. This was the scripture passage he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will tell of his posterity? For his life is taken from the earth. Close quote. Then the eunuch said to Philip in reply, I beg you, about whom is the prophet saying this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and said, beginning with this scripture passage, he proclaimed Jesus to him. So he's saying, no, this passage is a reference to Christ. In fact, the entire Old Testament points to Jesus. That's what Philip is telling him. So Philip is now giving him a course on Genesis to Jesus. Okay? And the scripture says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is water. What is to prevent my being baptized? Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and he baptized him. When he came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but continued on his way rejoicing. Philip came to Azotus and went about proclaiming the good news to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Powerful story.
Yeah, so look at what Philip actually did.
Yeah.
Philip explained to him the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and look at what happens when somebody says, I'm in.
That's
I want to follow Jesus.
About. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Messiah. He's died for my sins. I'm in.
Yep.
What did he do immediately after? He got baptized.
Yep.
So that's basically the same thing that we follow today in RCIA.
Right.
A person is inquiring about the church. I think I want to follow Jesus. I want to know about the church. We withhold baptism until they go through the course and they say, yeah, I'm in. I want to follow him. Then they're baptized. Now, for babies, we follow the Old Testament Jewish pattern, which is mom and dad in proxy. They stand in for their child, and mom and dad's faith is vicariously attributed to the child so they can receive baptism as infants. We do the same thing that the Jews did in the temple with their babies on the eighth day for the rite of circumcision.
Well said, Jesse. This is a powerful reading. Like I said, I just spent 20 minutes with a fallen away Catholic sharing that with him. And, you know, he's just like, no, I make my own decisions. I'm my own pope. He said in those words, I said, yeah, I guess you are.
Yeah.
All right, Jess, let's bring the smartest guy into the room. Full steam ahead. This is appropriate for our topic about saints, because we're all called to be saints. Bishop Sheen says, saints have a sense of humor. Are you kidding me? We better. He says, I do not mean only canonized saints, but rather the great army of staunch and solid Christians to whom everything and every incident speaks a story of God's love. A saint can be defined as one who has a divine sense of humor, for a saint never takes this world seriously as a lasting city. You know, Jess, that's been my criticism right now of a lot of churches, that they take this world as being a lasting city, and it's not. And I'm referring to the vaccine.
Our leaders.
But I'm talking about the vaccine. That, you know, so here's my point. I know we're not on YouTube. We'll get back on YouTube maybe next week, I guess. But this is a topic. Who are we placing our trust in? And that's why later in the show we're going to talk about the wonders of the Holy Name. Jesse's got a beautiful story on that. But I just want to say, Bishop Sheen, thank you for keeping us focused on heaven rather than on earth.
That's right. Terry, the French writer Leon Blois once
famous.
He says, quote, there is only one tragedy in life,
right.
and that is not to become a saint.
I was told that there's only one tragedy in life is not to take the pick. Someone else told me that.
Yeah,
the Pope.
Right.
Nah, get out of here. Just, you're spot on. But you see, there's the point. People like us, when we say things like this, they go, oh, you can't say that. No, no, no. You have to be politically correct. Forget about political correctness. Let's get the truth about things.
How about just being correct?
Yeah.
Correct. Not politically. How about just being correct based on natural law and divine power?
Yeah, there you go, Jess.
Yeah, just be correct. Simple. Terry, and I'll tell you, there's another saint, a Saint Claudine Fevnet. She also says something interesting.
Tell us.
She said, quote, "There is no greater tragedy than to live and die without knowing Jesus."
Yeah, that is so true, Jesse. And you see, this is the point we have to be making right now among this pandemic, with their people saying all these people die. Hey, we have 40 funerals.
I call it a fake demic.
Yes, I have 40 funerals this month here at the chapel. And you know what? We're reaching out to every single family there to share the gospel with them. But you know what? They're not getting that during their life. And so I just hope and pray that those people, like right now, the woman that's being buried, that she knew Jesus Christ and that she died in the state of grace. And if she needs our prayers, we pray for every single person. I ask our audience every day, know that there's a funeral going on not far from their chapel. Hey, Jess, when we come back, you got some good stories, man, about the wonders of the holy name of Jesus. And I want to hear those. And also, we have that little booklet, The Wonders of the Holy Name by Father Paul O'Sullivan, OP, another Dominican. Get his booklets from Tan Books, any of them, The Wonders of the Mass, The Wonders of the Holy Name. Awesome material. You're going to be inspired to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The holy name of Jesus,
amen,
is first of all, not only the name above all names,
powerful,
but it's also a powerful prayer.
Yes, it is.
And if you notice in Catholicism, this is the reason that in the Catholic Church, we end all our prayers how? It says, through Christ our Lord.
For a reason.
Notice that all our prayers, yep, in Catholicism are always punctuated with through Christ our Lord. Okay? Because you cannot separate the Father from the Son. And every time we say the name of Jesus, we're also gaining, in case you didn't know it, we gain indulgences. We gain partial indulgences just saying the name of Jesus, because that's again, the most perfect prayer. Here's a story that brought a smile to my face. Okay?
Me too.
The story's called "The Holy Name of Jesus Saved Me from a Dog Bite." Okay?
I love it.
So she writes, "I know it's not a good idea to protest too much, but I must protest that I am an avowed dog lover. I have an obsessive love of dogs that borders on mania. So when I was in primary school at about the age of 10, the teacher lightly scolded me because I was drawing pictures of dogs too much. Well, this week I met a dog that didn't return my affections. He seemed eager to taste my blood.
Yeah.
I had gone to a neighborhood for the sake of taking a long walk to unwind after a few days where my nerves had been taxed. Tis a leafy estate with many trees surrounding the houses. People come to walk their dogs there, as it has a feeling of a private park, and I usually enjoy pleasant interactions with pampered pooches. This day, I'd been walking for quite some time, and I had taken delight in the spring blossoms. Suddenly behind me, I heard a skirmish of paws, frantically scraping the ground, and through an involuntary reaction, I turned and saw a dog with teeth completely bared. He charged right at me. His enormous jaws were yawning, a land shark to be sure. He looked like Taz, the cartoon of the Tasmanian devil, but he seemed to be a pit bull mix. I screamed, ran for my life, and thought about climbing a tree. I ran to a tree and started running around it with the dog in hot pursuit. I put the tree between me and this hound and tried to lurch in the opposite direction to him. It was quite a dance, me on one side of the tree and he on the other. He was extremely overweight and looked desperate for exercise, so he jumped slower than I. Then a harassed dog owner came upon us. Clearly the dog had gotten off his leash or led, to use British English, and the downtrodden owner was struggling to get her land shark back. He wouldn't obey her loud commands, and she was standing a bit back from the jig I was just doing to avoid him. Suddenly, I thought to pray, in the holy name of Jesus, drive this dog away from me in the opposite direction of me. The beleaguered owner heard me cry out, "Jesus, Jesus," and saw their dog instantly give up his hunt for a chunk of my skin.
I love it.
While he turned and scampered away from me, she gave me a pained look and ran after him, calling at him to come back, but he was not going to heed her for a minute. I saw her chase him way off in the distance. I had a very peaceful, relieved feeling. The balm of grace poured over me, and I thought that this was surely an occasion when a dog, a dumb beast, did not obey a human, but obeyed when the holy name of Jesus was invoked so that he might be redirected from attacking me.
I love that story. We've got Gilbert on the line. He's going to ask a question, but I want to remind everybody, each time we say Jesus, it's an act of perfect love, for we offer to God the infinite love of Jesus. So the holy name of Jesus saves us from innumerable evils, delivers us especially from the powers of the devil, and who is constantly seeking to do us harm. That's, you know, spiritual warfare at its best. The name of Jesus gradually fills our soul with peace and joy we never had before. Now, I've got more to say on this topic, but Gilbert, I want you to ask your question. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's going on, Gilbert?
Good. Yeah, so just quickly, I've been listening to you guys for several years. Mm-hmm. Awesome work.
Thank you.
You guys have helped me out in my faith a lot. So you guys were talking about baptism this morning, so I figured I'd call in because I'm a newly married man. My wife and I, just under 2 years.
Congratulations.
Somewhat newly married.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're having our first child.
Oh, great.
Next month.
Uh-huh.
And so in regards to baptism, I listened to you guys talk about Chad Ripinger.
Yes.
And so I've been listening to him and what he says about baptism regarding the old rite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question. Do you guys recommend the old rite versus the new rite of baptism? And second question is any tips on how I can recommend it to our parish priest? Because I'm not sure if he's going to be aware of it or.
Sure, I can appreciate that.
What the case may be.
You bet.
Yeah, I'll tell you why the old rite is more recommendable. Because there's a principle in Catholic theology on prayer. The church has always taught this. Prayer begets what it signifies. Remember that. Prayer begets what it signifies. So what does that mean? It means that, and this is why Catholic prayer, especially pre-1962, very powerful because it's very specific, very precise, very ornate. And so there's more power because the words are more precise. And you'll find also in the old rite of baptism, it actually has three different exorcism prayers built within the rite itself. And so a lot of those things were redacted after 1965. The sacrament of baptism still, obviously, you know, it makes
valid.
You a child of God.
Yep.
You know, it makes you're justified.
Okay.
You become a divine son and daughter of God. But in terms of, again, it's just in terms of the efficacy, without a doubt. I mean, it would just be, I'll just give you a simple common sense answer to that. If I would tell you, go to my house and get my jacket, all right? That's not real specific. Now, if I said, go to my house, underneath the front doormat is the key, open up the door, my room is directly to the left, go into my closet, there's a brown coat there, take it out, come back out of my house, lock the door, put the key under the mat, and come and bring me the coat. See the difference in the specificity?
Yeah.
The prayers of the old rite are much more specific, and that's why Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, Matthew 7:7. Because some people say, well, Jesus already knows everything. You don't have to be so wordy. Wrong. Jesus told St. Faustina in the diary, there's a paragraph where Jesus Christ, St. Faustina says, Lord, I don't have to tell you everything because you know everything. You're all-knowing. Jesus told St. Faustina, I like when you're specific with me.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me specifically what you want. Yeah, I know everything. Yeah, I want you to be specific with me. That's my answer. Terry?
Well, you know, I was just going to say, yeah, obviously the new rite is valid. It's just pointing out that it's much clearer. I'll give you an example. Even with the Mass, the Mass is the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. the old Mass is very much clearer enunciating that. It's still enunciated in the new Mass, but not as clear. So, Gilbert, I hope that helps you, and I don't expect your pastor to, you know, to make that change. I think he's just going to go along with the regular baptism, which most guys will do. It's valid, but I think the points that Father Ripperger are valid, and all I can say is we're living in interesting times, Gilbert.
Yeah. Also, Gilbert, the new priest haven't been trained in the old rite.
No.
You're gonna ask him to do something that he doesn't know anything about.
Exactly.
So if you want your child to be baptized in the old rite, you're gonna have to find an FSSP parish.
That's right.
Or a parish like the Norbertines that have been trained in the old rite as well. So if you're gonna ask the average priest to do it that way, they don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. All right, Gilbert. Thanks for calling, brother.
It's not their fault.
No. Hey, Gilbert, I want you to hear this and everybody else. We're talking, Gilbert, about the holy name of Jesus. And in the 11th century, there's this big pandemic that took place, Gilbert, way back almost 1,000 years ago. And the Holy Father told everybody to entrust their lives to Jesus, saying, Jesus, Jesus, my Jesus. And the pandemic was 1274, and it was Pope Gregory the 10th who told everybody and all the bishops and all the priests. He said he urged the people to place all their confidence in the all-powerful name of Jesus, repeating it constantly and boundlessly with trust. So the Pope entrusted the Dominicans to this task. And what's really interesting, and you know, Gilbert and everyone else listening, I'm sorry to have to say this. I wish I wouldn't have to say this, Jesse, but you know, almost 1,000 years later, this pandemic of the COVID-19, where people are dying because of, you know, the flu and viruses and all that. And we're saying, you know, today, the vigor of Christ says something different. And that is, you have an obligation to get vaccinated. I'm sorry. I wish the Holy Father would say just what his predecessor did and put our trust in Jesus Christ to get rid of this pandemic. So I just want to make that point, because we're going to be talking about another Dominican priest on showing what the church actually teaches about the vaccine and what you need to know before you get vaccinated. And if you get vaccinated, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And not many people know that, Gilbert. So I appreciate you calling, and I wish you the best with your new baby coming up, and let's keep in touch. Okay, brother? Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, and stay away from that vaccine.
Exactly. God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Bye-bye now. Hey, Jess.
By the way, if anybody wants to get my take on the Derek Chauvin case, go to my blog. I wrote exactly an analysis of the verdict, of the jury, of all the circumstances. Go to jesseromero.com, my blog. I wrote a long article today from a law enforcement point of view, about everything you want to know about this case, but I write it from a Catholic biblical point of view, not from a secular humanist point of view. And you could also hear today's Jesus 911.
Yep, you nailed it.
We had five law enforcement officers, all
show.
Retired. Yeah. 150 years of experience between all five of us.
It was great.
And we talked about the Derek Chauvin verdict. Yeah. It was a political verdict. I'm not canonizing him. He gave them all the fodder that they needed to go after him. But if you want to hear a good, thoughtful Catholic discussion on that, listen to Jesus 911 today, and we talk about the verdict and the trial.
And Jesse, just not to mention your brother, but he's an expert on this force issue, correct? I mean, you're not just talking about foot cops. These guys that you were on were upper-level cops.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My brother's a retired commander. Eddie Chavez is a retired sergeant. Ruben's a retired sergeant. Paul Clay's a retired lieutenant.
Yes.
And my brother Henry, he actually wrote... And back in the 90s, right after the Rodney King incident, he actually wrote the use of force manual that basically regulates the L.A. Sheriff's Department's use of force policy for all officers. And it was adapted by the entire country after this. So, yeah, my brother Henry, he has some heavy credentials in this area.
He sure does. And I want people to like us on the YouTube when we come back. And also go to our app. Go get our free app by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And you can hear all these shows anytime, anywhere. But we're counting on you, our listener, to spread the word about Virgin Most Powerful, because we've got the message, but we need messengers to send it to your friends and family. And that's what we're counting on. We come back, we'll talk more, not only about the Dominican priest on the issue of the vaccine, what the Catholic Church teaches, but we'll give you another story or two about the wonders of the holy name of Jesus. Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, we love you. Save souls. We'll be back with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The name of Jesus is the glory of preachers, St. Bernardine of Siena. Terry and Jesse Show, have you heard about this priest, Dominican priest,
he's awesome.
Medical doctor who opines on the abortion and vaccines?
Yeah.
His name is Father Leon Pareda, and he talks about the morality of receiving aborted-derived vaccines. Long article, I'll redact just the main parts of it.
Yeah.
He says, I'm a medical doctor and a moral theologian, so the views that I'm putting here are my own. He goes, I simply write this as a scientist, a moral theologian, and a faithful Catholic.
He sure does.
He says there's a lot of information, true and false, available on COVID vaccines. So he goes, I want to clarify, or I want to bring clarity regarding the science, morality, and the church's teachings on these matters. Let me go to the meat of it, which is a summary, then we'll come back to some of the other parts of the article.
Awesome.
Here's the meat of it. Here's a summary. It's a 6-point summary.
Yep, number one.
Yeah, number one. He says, the use of the morally tainted vaccines is acceptable only if it is necessary, and there are no other alternatives, and a person protests their production, working to avoid the sin of scandal.
Now who's doing that, Jesse? Where is that being said in the church today? I've not heard anybody say that.
Yeah, you're right.
But it says that in the document that he's referring to, the 2008 document from the Holy See, from the Doctrine of Faith. And it's like it's not even being repeated. It's saying you have a moral obligation to get it done.
Yeah, it's the 2000. He's quoting from the 2008 document. It's called Dignitatis Personae, and it's a CDF document.
Yes, it is. Congregation of Doctrine of Faith.
Yeah,
but nobody's quoting it. Even the highest officials, the Holy Father. I'm questioning that. Number two.
It says moral necessity to receive such vaccines may include grave pressure or the need to take vaccines to keep one's job. For example, medical staff in hospitals.
Exactly.
So he admits that some of these government jobs are pressuring, even private sector jobs, they're pressuring Catholics to take the jab.
Yep.
And so he says, well, if you need to keep your work, your employment, then he goes, it may be a moral necessity. So that was the second point.
And I will just add something on that second.
Go ahead and add.
I'm just going to add it because if I were in the shoes of somebody and I would
another
say,
job.
Exactly, brother. I'd say, you know what? God's going to honor my fidelity here to say, I just don't want to do it. I can go get another job. I got two hands. I got two feet. I got an intellect. I got a mind that God's given to me. I'm going to do that. Now, that's another option. But number three, I had to say that, Jess.
Yeah, no, we'll comment on all of them.
Okay, good. And number three, Go ahead. In all cases, the church and all people need to protest the production of these vaccines and abortions, including abortions for medical research. Jesse, where is it being protested? Could you give me one example?
There's silence from the shepherds. There's silence from the Vatican. Nobody is protesting.
No one.
These immorally tainted vaccines. None of the shepherds are saying anything, Terry. As St. Paul says, I mean, how can the people fight if they don't hear the trumpets? Well, guess what? The trumpets are silent, Terry.
And that's sad. And that's why tonight from 7 to 9 here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we're praying for our priests, bishops, and the Holy Father, because we need leadership to teach, govern, and sanctify in a very direct way. And I have to say this. One of the reasons we have so many low information Catholics is because our leadership hasn't been passing it on properly. I'm sorry, but I'm critical because I see it every day. Jess, number four.
Well, you're not the only one that said that. Cardinal Ratzinger said that. Archbishop Shapiro
said
that. A lot of people. So, point number four. In no case should use of the vaccines be called a moral duty or be praised. At best, I like this, like cannibalism in case of dire necessity, their use is regrettable. Regrettable. What a powerful statement.
Oh, gosh.
That first sentence, look, let me read it again. Yeah. This is a moral theologian and a scientist, okay? He says, in no case should use of such vaccines be called a moral duty. So when you hear a prelate in the church saying, you have a moral duty to get vaccinated, not true. Not true, okay? Father, who's a scientist, says, if you have to do it, he says, it's, again, kind of like cannibalism. You're stuck in an island, everybody's dead, and you're the only one in the island. You say, okay, should I die with everybody else of hunger, or should I bite somebody's arm and maybe last a few more hours? I don't know. He says, this is like cannibalism at best. He goes, it's regrettable. By the way, I would just drop dead.
Exactly. And you know, Jesse, I have to say the same. He took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But brother,
I'm not going to be eating another human being.
Oh,
no.
And again, what did Bishop Sheen say? That we have a life, we have a future life. I mean, here's my question, though. This priest is really putting his neck on the line, Jesse, because he's giving people the truth about what the church's teachings are in this document, and it's just not being completely, it's just not getting out to people.
May pay for it, Terry.
Oh, yeah, I want to pray for that, man. Jesse, let's go to the fifth one. And again, Jess, this is a Dominican priest who's trained in Thomistic philosophy. He's a medical doctor. He understands the nuances of viruses quite well. And he's basically taking the documents of the church and putting it into a simple language that you and I, we're reading this summary. Now, you can read, I have to say this, Jesse, before we go on. He gives a description of where how these babies were aborted.
Oh, man.
And I can't even repeat it on the radio. It's so wicked. But I want you to go and get a copy of this document. Read it to yourself. I wouldn't share it with my kids that are young. But the point of it is it made me sick. It made me nauseous to read how we're getting this and how we're sacrificing these babies. Kind of like what Bishop Athanasius talked about in his open letter on this. But the point of it is, this priest is saying, look, if you do it, here's what you need to do it. So I'm not saying you can't do it, but we're saying you need to follow the protocol of Catholic morality on this. Go ahead, Jeff.
Exactly. By the way, and if you want to see my take on it, I blogged on this last week. Just type in Jesse Romero, I'm not going to take the jab, and my article comes out. And I give you all the biblical, philosophical, medical reasons why Jesse Romero, the only way I'll take the jab is if the police come to my house, handcuff me, hold me down physically, and force it on me. That's the only way that'll happen. Okay, point number five.
Five, hit it, Jess.
A separate issue is the medical necessity of these vaccines. Does the pandemic genuinely warrant the use of vaccines? And their safety, the COVID vaccines are experimental.
Well said.
And then he says, therefore, reluctance by the general public to submit to vaccination is all the more understandable. So let me parse that statement here. Okay. Number one, it isn't a medical necessity. 99.7% of people survive COVID-19. Okay. So it's not a medical necessity. Pandemic, is it universal? Is it around the entire world? There's some places that basically they've had this completely under control because they use other things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine.
Yep.
Other countries, they have this completely under control. The next point that I'll
Before you go, don't go to the next point because
because he admits it. This priest doctor says these vaccines are experimental.
Exactly. Well,
bingo. Said. That's why I am not only reluctant, I'm not going to submit myself to a vaccine because I'm not going to be the government's guinea pig. Vaccines are tested on animals. Guess who the animals are right now? Humans.
Exactly. You're the rat. Hey, Jesse, how many of us, ask yourself this question. Would you buy a car without a warranty? Would you buy your house without some guarantee that the plumbing works? Mm. Or would you... I mean, those are important items, but what about your life? Are you going to go to the doctor and take a surgery without any guarantee that this surgery will be done properly or any guarantee of a product that you buy? You don't do that in normal life. And so I always ask the question, Why do it now? Why let somebody give you something with they have no liability and it's all experimental? Do you want to be the experimental rat? I sure don't. And I think the priest is making a very compelling point to really ask yourself those questions.
Yeah, the truth is, if you die from these experimental
they got
injections,
no liability.
You can't sue the
even if
the,
you get sick and you pharma, you lose
you
your
can't sue the
health.
Pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
It's already law, by the way. It's a law that you can't sue them, and they made sure that they had this law put in place before they started these experimental injections. Point number six.
Oh, I love it. Yep.
Morally acceptable vaccines do exist.
Yep.
Or will be made shortly.
That's right.
Or will be made available shortly. They may be difficult to access depending on where you live.
Follow the money.
Yeah, follow the money. The government under the Biden administration is going to make sure that if there are morally acceptable vaccines, as Father says, the Biden administration and his HHS secretary, they're going to make sure you can't find them, or they're going to make sure access to them is very difficult. They're going to make sure that the mainstream ones that are used with the embryonic fetal stem cells or tested with them, those are the ones that are going to be mainstreamed and pushed by our government.
Yeah, and he's going to give you, we're going to go more, but he's got a table of vaccines on this article showing you the different ones. This priest really gave a great service to Holy Mother, the Church, to put this into a document.
This is an article you need to read yourself. Terry can only skim the surface, because it's got a lot of scientific technical language, which will put you to sleep.
Yeah, so we've got another point we're going to make after the break. And I want to also mention Jess Romero. He's going to be here for the men's conference. And also Bishop Joseph Strickland will show through the video presentation. It'll be June 12th. And we're already getting people signing up. And so we're also going to have a Friday night dinner with Jess and myself and others. We're going to bring all our guys over, have a nice meal with everybody Friday night. That'd be the 11th of June. You register, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Or call us at 877-526-2151. And by the way, on the 15th of May, I'm going to be doing a presentation free on the line, Evangelization for the Third Millennial. When we come back, we'll continue to talk more about what the Catholic Church actually teaches about vaccinations. And you know what? It's shocking that nobody has been hearing this. And I would just say, hey, I'm sorry, but the truth hurts sometimes. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The name of Jesus is the name above all names. And at the name of Jesus, one day, every knee shall bend and every tongue shall confess in heaven, on earth, and in hell.
Sign me up.
Everybody will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. We're talking about the jab, Terry.
This next and one's very important. Yes.
And it's a priest. It's
Dominican.
In case you're wondering, his name is Father Leon Pareda. He's a Dominican. But he's also a scientist.
Yeah.
So he's a high information human being. It's worth reading the whole article. It's got a lot of detail to it. The article's called Priest Doctor Opines on Abortion and Vaccines. You can get the article by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or you can go to my website and get it from my show page, jesseromero.com. So Father Pereira, as he's giving us a summary of all the things that he's delineated in this article, he says in point number seven, he says, no one may be compelled to be vaccinated against their conscience. Terry, that says it all right there.
I love it.
Isn't that what the left is always saying, especially the Catholic left? I'm just following my conscience. Yeah, they're following their malformed conscience. But the fact is, this is a Catholic principle. You can't be compelled to be vaccinated against your conscience. And really, the only thing I would just add a modifier to your well-formed moral conscience.
Yes.
And your well-formed moral conscience tells you, number one, I'm not an animal, so don't experiment on me with an experimental vaccine, number one. Number two, I don't want anything to do with aborted baby stem cells, either in the experimental stage or in the testing stage. I don't want to be connected at all to that grave evil. Why? Because my Christian conscience does not allow me to. So Father makes that point in point number seven.
He does. And you know, Jesse, the Nuremberg trials actually said something similar when they said that no one should be forced to take an experimental drug like they were doing. We were condemning the Nazis, and here we are doing it.
And send doctors to jail.
And sent doctors to jail. And what we're doing is exactly the same. I'm saying, what happened to our memory? Do we have a short memory here? But you know what, Jesse? He also says...
Terry, well, let me just mention one more. The left is always saying that... remember that bumper sticker slogan? My body, my choice?
Yes, I've heard that.
All right, then. I'm going to say the same thing. My body, my choice. Leave me alone. Don't jab
You're
me.
Turning it on them, Jesse.
Yeah. I'm going to use their line on them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. He also says, while the virtue of justice, strictly speaking... does not forbid reception of these vaccinations, the virtue of charity may lead Christians to forego them, both for their own souls and in witness to the dignity of life. Bishop Athanasius Snyder said something very similar, Jesse, saying that this is a message to be as pro-life as possible. And what a message it is to say, okay, well, maybe, you know what, Jess, I'm going to say it right on the air. If I got COVID-19... and I died from it. Guess what, Jess? Have a please. I'll do that for you. I'll get a Gregorian masses sent for my soul.
Yeah.
I do the and you do the same thing for me. And believe me, I am very happy at this point of life to say, Jesus, thank you for letting me have the years I have. I am honored, and I will offer all that suffering for the salvation of souls. End of story. I mean, Jess, is it get? That's how simple. Now, if I die, play this back one day on the air and say, see what that's. Terry said that, and he meant it, and I do.
Terry, you know, we just have to go back to our New Testament Catholic faith. What does St. Paul say? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Exactly, brother.
St. Paul saw death as a positive option. Come on, Catholics.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Yeah, the snooze button's on.
If you're in die in a state of grace, guess what? It's a positive option.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we were made for. That's why St. Paul says in another passage in Romans 14, he goes, if I live, I live for the Lord. If I die, I die for the Lord. Whether I live or I die, it's for the Lord. Terry, we forgot that. Even a lot of our shepherds have forgot that. They're saying, wash your hands, put on a mask, social distance, take the jab. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, preach the gospel to me. Don't sound like Fauci.
Well, like I said, in 1170, when they had these other pandemics hit, where the church was very clear. Listen to what St. Augustine says also, Jesse. We're at the end, but I mean, we're talking about the vaccine, but talk about our Catholic faith. We've lost the supernatural outlook of life. We've become so horizontal. We forgot the vertical going towards God. It's all horizontal. You know, wash your hands, like you said. You know, don't forget the social distance, all that stuff. But what about staying away from sin? That's so much more important, Jess. The great doctor of the church, he said he found delight in repeating the holy name of Jesus himself, and tells us that he found pleasure in books which he made frequent mention. Let's talk about Jesus Christ more, about redemption, about a sin, about forgiveness, about salvation, and let the doctors talk about vaccines, and let the doctors talk about having us with good health, because we're looking for spiritual doctors of the church. We're not talking, if we want to go to our medical doctor, that's great, but we want you as a priest, bishop, and holy father to be spiritual fathers and directing us to live in the state of grace and get to heaven. That's the job description of what the church says, even in canon law. Jesse, the last canon, what does it say? Every canon is for the salvation of souls.
Yep.
That's okay, I'm done. Canon. I kind of blew up on you, Jess, but it's just I'm tired of it.
Yeah, Terry, and we won't get to it, but it's worth reading. There's an article called A Personal Relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And so the question is this a Catholic principle? Absolutely,
it's a Catholic
principle. Read the article. To have I would just argue that Catholics that live their faith.
Yeah.
And receive the Eucharist most especially,
yeah.
have the most personal relationship with Jesus Christ on planet Earth, much more than any Protestant denomination can ever offer you, because ours is literally blood in, blood out. Ours is literally this matrimonial nuptial that happens every Sunday at Holy Mass. So there's no Protestant denomination that even comes close to taking their parishioner to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ like the Catholic, like sacramental churches like we do, and the Orthodox. But going back to this topic.
Go ahead. I love it.
Yeah.
Preach it, brother. This is what needs to be heard.
Yeah. Going back to the jab.
Okay.
Terry, just here's my point, Terry.
Go ahead, bro. We're not on YouTube, Jess. Let it rip, baby.
I know. Terry, I'm not going to let, personally, a godless Democrat communist government stick my arm with an experimental injection, because we don't know the side effects. And these experimental injections are manufactured by Big Pharma.
That's right.
And it's for profit.
That's right.
And guess what? They can't be sued by law. And so don't be the government guinea pig.
Yep.
And here's the second thing. Don't worry about who can kill your body. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, 28, worry about, only fear God who can kill the body
and
the soul.
Amen.
That's what God says.
Preach it.
And St. Paul also tells us, he says, look it, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Romans 14, 8. So remember this. If you're a Catholic in a state of grace, and if you die, guess what? Bingo, you've won more than the lottery. That's why the early Catholic martyrs, they all saw death as a positive option. I do, Terry does.
Amen,
brother.
I
hope you do as well.
That's right.
And now let's just get this straight. Our days on earth are numbered.
Nobody
Psalm
gets that
139,
alive.
Verse 16. They're already written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
That's right.
There's nothing you can do. I don't care how many times you go to the gym and you're a vegan and you eat, drink, you know, you shakes and protein and wash your hands. There's nothing you can do to extend your time on planet Earth even one day. Who said that? Our Lord did. In Matthew 6, 25 to 27. And so remember, when God calls a life to the judgment, God is a just, he's a just father. As it says in Genesis 18:25, it says, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? I'm going to repeat that again. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Guess what? God's always going to do what is right. When God allows your heart to stop, he knows what he's doing, and he knows your time is up.
Amen.
And he knows why he called you. And I don't question that one second,
nope,
Terry.
Nope.
Because, and here's on a positive thing, and I'll drop it over to Terry.
Yeah.
If you want to feel some type of protection, start praying every day, including your prayers. Yeah. Find some time in the day to start praying Psalm 91. What is Psalm 91? It's a deliverance prayer that protects you from demons, also from plagues, pestilences,
wow,
and diseases.
Beautiful.
It's right in the prayer. It's a prayer to protect you against diseases and pestilence and plagues. So if you feel that afraid, start praying that once a day or three times a day. And also, there's an old prayer written by St. Alphonsus of Liguori. It's called the Act of Resignation to the Divine Will.
Oh, yeah.
Two sentences. Here it is. It says, O Lord my God, from this moment do I accept from thy hands with burning love and sincere contrition, with a calm and willing disposition, whatsoever death thou shalt choose to send me, with its pains and griefs, amen. Start praying that prayer every day. It's called the Act
Powerful.
Of Resignation to the Divine Will.
St. Alphonsus Liguori, pray for us. Jesse, I want to leave out the gospel for today.
Yeah.
A promise Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate man in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Jesse, the Eucharist, source and summit of the Christian life. Life is short. Eternity is forever. I got to remember to tell people that more often, because I think right now, Jesse, we're hearing, hey, we got to live how long can I last? Do you think I may live to be 100? 100 years? That's nothing compared to eternity, Jess.
Amen. You've been listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. If you like what you hear, then like us. You know, hit the subscribe button and share this with other people. We think that that what we're putting out here is going to build up the body of Christ. So
yeah, biblical worldview, baby.
Yeah, hit the bell to be notified. Share the show with others. Terry, take it away.
Okay, hey, I just want to remind everybody, listen to Jesus 911 by going to our podcast, Five Cops Together, talking about police work that I think ties right into what's going on in our culture. It's fantastic. Check it out on our virginmostpowerfulradio.org website. Pick up the app. Tell your friends that they can hear it anytime, anywhere. We also have the good doctor in right now, Dr. Sandoval. Man, what a great show that's going to be. If you can't hear it on your station, just get the free app by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and get that downloaded, and you'll be set. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And this weekend, I'm going to go represent Virgin Most Powerful
that's
Radio
right.
out at a high-level meeting in Florida with many great Catholic apostolates. So that we can collaborate and strategize. Terry, take it away.
Keep Jesse in your prayers. I'll be doing a presentation at that event from here. May God richly bless you and your family. And full sheen ahead.